Hi. This is going to be the last sermon in the series, Thus Saith the Lord. Everybody say, yay. Yay, says the Lord. Yay. This is it. Going to wrap it all up today. So pay attention. This is going to be a good one. Tell your neighbor it's a good one. All right. So how many celebrated Canada Day? It's a little bit weird when it falls in the middle of the week like that. Amen. How many liked it in the middle of the week? How many like a weekend? I don't know. It's a bit strange. It was hot. It was hot. Tell you, it was hot. How many went to see some fireworks? Amen. How many watched some fireworks on TV? How many can't hear me and I can put your hand up no matter what I say? Fireworks. There were some fireworks. There were some fireworks. Cheryl, she was kind of tired in the sun all day, floating around the pool. She was exhausted. But I decided I'm going to go down the corner and see the fireworks, and I'm there and family with me. And they had a little guy, this little guy, but he was just rugged. He was tough. He just stood there like a little man, you know, he's awesome. So I was looking at him going, "You're for the fireworks?" He just looked at me and, "Oh, wow." I said, "This is exciting. You know why we do this?" He just looked at me. So because we're celebrating Canada. It's a beautiful nation. Canada's the most amazing place in the world. Said, listen, you live in Canada, and you're free. He looked at me, gave me a look. Give me that tough, rugged guy looky. I wasn't getting it, though. I didn't quite get it. I needed a response. Amen? How many know I need a response? So I looked, I said, you're in Canada. You live in Canada, and you're free. He just looked at me strange again. I was like, Lord, have mercy. I said, listen, you live in Canada, and you're free. He looked back at me and said, mister, I'm not free, I'm four. How many know that actually happened? It didn't happen, sorry. I just wanted to bring you in. I wanted you to feel the experience, and so I embellished a little bit. From now on, everything is true. From this point going forward, I really mean, okay? But that's a nice little story. How many are going to use that one on your friend when you get home? How many think, well, Pastor, that was okay. I can do that. Okay, all right. We're wrapping up Thus Saith the Lord. How many have enjoyed Thus Saith the Lord? How many didn't know we were in the middle of a series on Thus Saith the Lord? It's been a long one, a lot of stuff. I'd love to recap it, but there was a lot. But you can go back on YouTube and you can watch it. But look, 1 Corinthians 14:29. 1 Corinthians 14:29. This is from the NET. Apparently these days you have to talk about what Bible you are speaking from because some people are offended by one translation or another. What they don't know is that there's hundreds of English translations. They're all translations. And most of them are pretty screwed up in one way or another. They don't really totally reflect the Hebrew text or the Greek text. And, you know, English is a poor, poor language to translate into. I've had translators. I've preached with a translator. Has anybody preached with a translator? It's a lot of fun. I like it when I have a translator. I go, hey, and he goes, hey. And I go, oh, and he goes, I just love it when whatever I do, he does. We go, he goes, you know what? That's a good translation. It's a good translation. I was in Cuba and I had a translator and she just leaned on the pulpit like this. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. And I mean, I'm like fire, breathing fire. And the Lord's anointing is upon you. Blah, 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 blah. The anointing shatters every yoke. It breaks the yoke. It sets the captives free. Blah, 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 blah. Said, well, come on, give me a glory to Jesus. Ba, 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 ba. Give me a glory to Jesus. Ba, 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 ba. Come on, shout glory to Jesus. Ba, 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 ba. When we were done the service, we had a translator with us who was a court translator, but wasn't accustomed to translating in religious context, so was concerned she wouldn't be able to do it. But we had her with us because we were doing a lot of stuff that trip. And she said, when you said, give him glory, she said, give him glory. When you said it again, she said, he said the same thing. And then you said it again, and she said, he said it again. No, it's not that funny. When you're trying that hard, And the person that is the funnel through which you are manifesting yourself. I mean, see, they're watching me do stuff and they're looking at her and there's a disconnect. The translation was awful. I literally told them, I am not going to preach again if that lady translates. I really did. And they said, but she's our national organization's official translator. I said, well, God bless her, but she's not going to be my translator. And I said, I have no problem because I'll go back to the resort and I'll swim in the pool and I'll float around and I'll fly back to Canada. But I'm not doing that again because what I'm trying to say is not being communicated and I will not waste my time. So we had a new translator that night. Hey, hey, woo, woo. That was a good translation. A lot of people, they picking on things and being wise guys and setting up whole ministries just to call people out. And I don't even see that spiritual gift in the Bible of cynicism and suspicion. You know, we got a lot of suspicious minds out there trying to protect us from all kinds of nonsense. And I'm getting a little perturbed about the whole thing myself. I'm almost ready to post something, but then I might be on the list. Let two or three prophets, they should speak, and let the others evaluate what is said. Let two or three prophets, let them speak, and let the others evaluate what is said. Now, the context is prophets, people qualified, people who prophesy, everybody can prophesy, but it does have to be judged. Let two or three prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. Now, this may look like a funny screen, but it's actually a true experience in my life. It's the camp meeting, the open mic, and the prophetic Olympics. So I was asked to, I actually had a group ask me to come and speak in this camp meeting, and they kept on asking me for years, and they said, could you come next year? I said, no. Could you come the year after? I said, no. Could you come the year after that? And I went, wow, that's 3 years out. I think so. And I went, oh, I think so. So I said, yes. And I went, oh, well, you know, suddenly 3 years later it came up and I went, oh yeah, I committed to go to that camp meeting. So I went and I was there. And on the first night, they had a worship team, was pretty good. A lot of people I knew, and people from our churches in the Maritimes were there as well. And we were enjoying that. And the fellow who led the worship, he led worship like this. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. And he always had the microphone like this, you know. I was like, it's a bit weird, you know, but whatever. I just closed my eyes and got involved. It was a bit awkward, you know. But you know what? I reckon if you got a whole group of young adults on a Friday night at a camp meeting saying, Jesus, lover of my soul, I think the Almighty is saying, this is a good thing. I don't care if you're holding the mic this way, that way, this way. You know what? You got somebody praising Jesus who's not out doing drugs and some other crazy thing, but he's in the house of God telling people, come on, come on, let's worship Jesus. A little bit annoying, but I'm sure the Almighty was like, Carl, I like it. Shut up. God doesn't do everything in your style. He might have said, look at this kid. Look at the microphone. Look at this. Jesus, come here. Look at this. I'm going to preach like that for the whole service. But now, I didn't know these people real well. It was a denominational camp years ago, but the denomination shut down, so all the campers who owned their own cottages there, they took over the campground, and they had camp meetings every year, so which is good. I knew some of them, so I figured we're in good shape. But right there, right in the front right here, was a microphone, a stand and a microphone. And so while I'm there, closing my eyes, just I'm going to embrace this whole worship thing, it's all good. All of a sudden, the music stopped and some lady started screaming. And she'd come up and she'd grab the microphone and she turned around to the worship team and she said, yay, the Lord would say, you're not of God. You're not of God. You have a spirit of pride and you are not of God. And so the whole worship team put their instruments down, dropped their mics and walked right out the back door. And I went, well, that was kind of weird. And then I was sitting there going like, I got to preach here for 10 days. I got to spend 10 days. And this is night one. I'm like, whew. I was literally like checking to see any cheap spots in Prince Edward Island right now. Maybe I'd say I'm not feeling well. But I was like, wow, this is a little scary. So then another guy got up, and he walked up and got the mic. And he went, yay, the Lord would say what she said, I did not say. What she said is not of God. I did not say what she said, says the Lord. And I went, oh, God. Bring back the kid with the microphone. Jesus! I was like, Lord, have mercy. I was just sitting there going, whew. And somewhere in this thing, I'm going to get the mic and I got to preach. So this is beautiful. So all of a sudden, I felt somebody coming down the row and pushing their way in and moving everybody in and sat down beside me. He said, brother? I said, yes. Can you fix this? I said, I can. I'm just not sure I want to. And I said, who are you, by the way? He said, I'm the chairman of the board over the camp here. I went, oh, good. I said, so you would have authority here? He said, yes. I said, so if you have authority here and you're a part of the governing body of this camp, would you give me authority to do what I need to do? Could I get authority from you to turn this thing around? And he said, brother, I give you all authority, whatever you need. Let's just get this thing turned around. So, because it was messy. People were bickering with each other. The worship team were catcalling from the back of the place. I was like, Lord, have mercy. This is not good. Who's tracking with me? This was the prophetic Olympics. It was so awesome. So I went and I grabbed the microphone, took the mic off the stand and took the stand and I put it over there and I walked back and I said, I've been given authority to work some things out here today, so we're going to make some new rules. Is that all right? I said, so while I'm preaching here, we're going to do things a little bit differently. There's no more open mic. Oh, people were no more open mic. Repeat to your neighbor, no more open mic. Said, there will be a mic, but I want you to come. I want you to share with the leadership what you believe the Lord has laid on your heart, and it's going to go through a filter. All right? And we're going to do that. And I said, I need the worship team. I need you to come back in and get up on the platform. And sister, brother, bless you. Listen, in the Word of God, there's all kinds of people, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of emphasis of how they think God moves and what he does. And there's a little story about a guy named Jehu and Jehonadab. Now, Jehonadab, he was a Nazarite. He took a Nazarite vow. He never drank, never cut his hair, never touched dead things. His whole family were Nazarites. They were a family who took a vow of real separation. And there was Jehonadab. And then there was Jehu. Jehu drove his chariot like a madman. When he drove his chariot, everybody out of the way. You could see him coming for miles driving his chariot. He was crazy. He was a party animal, and he was, you know, went to every party in town. But Jehu was prophesied over Jehu that he would be the king. And as the king, he had to go take out Jezebel, the worst, most awful embodiment of a disgusting spirit in their time. So Jehu was given responsibility to take out Jezebel. He got in his chariot. Who's tracking with me? He's riding his chariot, dust everywhere, flying down the road. And all of a sudden, there's Jehonadab right there in the path. And he stopped. Sound effects, just for you. He pulls up and he stops and he goes over to Jehonadab and he reaches out his hand and he says, is your heart with mine as my heart is with yours? And he reached out his hand and Jehonadab grabbed his hand and he said, my heart is one with you. My heart is right with you. And so a very, very purist or a religious guy who had lots of rules, a real kind of a stickler, a bit of a legalist maybe, got in the chariot with a party animal. Two people, very, very diverse approaches to serving God and what that looked like. They got together and they went and they took out Jezebel and eliminated that spirit from the whole region. And they said, so we have a camp meeting here. And you guys have come from diverse backgrounds, and you're not all a part of the same congregation, and that's great. But I said, right now, if you're a little like Jehonadab, and you're a little like Jehu, I want you to turn to your neighbor, give them your hand, and say, my heart is right with you. Is your heart right with mine? Because we're going to have 10 days of meetings here. Heaven is open. We're going to have a breakthrough, and we're not having this nonsense again. How many are like, that was a great story? Well, you should have been there for it. I had another guy from the UK. He was the morning speaker. I was the evening speaker. And I'm walking away by myself from the place going, Lord, have mercy. What was that? Finished up the whole thing. He came running up behind me. Clump, 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 clump. He was, put his arm around. He was, thank God for that. He says, are you an apostle? I said, I am. He said, oh, thank God. Because I was like, what are we going to do all week? You know? Amen. Say amen. All right. Now I got to finish the sermon. Can I do that? All right. Let two or three prophesy, but let the others evaluate. And I was in a funny place, but I knew there needed to be evaluation. Because if you let that be standing, if you let that take place, you really mess up what people think of the voice of God. And I'm serious about the voice of God. I love the voice of God, and I love prophecy. So I want things to be done well, and I don't want to goof off. I want to do it properly. Prophecy, to speak forth by divine inspiration. Prophecy, simply heaven revealing itself through a human vessel. It is God's thoughts becoming audible in the earth. Last week, we talked about four basic types: the spirit of prophecy, gift of prophecy, office of prophecy. And the one I want to emphasize the most is an office, not an office, but a company of prophets. Because we are, Impact Church, we are raising up a company of prophets. We are raising up a prophetic community that is going to declare the living word of God and transform the globe. And that's what we're doing. We're not here to have little religious services weekly, come pay the God bill, and then wait till the bus picks us up and gets us out of here. We are here to transform the world. And that's going to happen through a prophetic community. And so we talked about that a bit last week. So the church is not here merely to observe history. The church is called to announce heaven into history. We speak life over death, hope over despair, blessing over curse, Christ over chaos, and reconciliation over division. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get another amen? Amen. God's promise is looking for a believing voice. The church is God's prophetic embassy on the earth. Come on! We do not speak in order to make God act. We speak because God has acted in Christ. The kingdom is not coming into force. It's already in force. We are here to prophesy, and prophecy is the announcement of the victory that we're walking in right now. Now, I want you to stand up again. Don't stand up because I'm finished, because I'm not. But I want you to stand up because I want you to prophesy. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're all going to prophesy right now. You're all going to prophesy. You're all going to prophesy. And the words to the prophetic unction are right there on the screen. The words are right there, and you're going to prophesy. You see what it says there? We're going to declare that over this city. How many know that the change of the city is on your lips? The transformation of the city is put on your mouth. It says, the Lord said, open your mouth and I will fill it. Open your mouth and declare things over the city of London. So we're going to, together with a loud voice, we're going to prophesy over the city of London. Can you do that? All right, here we go. Are you ready? Starting with London, you ready? London, Ontario, and surrounding region, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord richly blesses you with prosperity. Businesses flourish, opportunities abound, and abundance flows to every resident. He releases creativity, fresh ideas, innovation, and artistic excellence. It rise from your people. You walk in influence, a beacon of wisdom, leadership, and positive impact across the region and beyond. Health and safety are your portion. Wholeness, protection, and peace guard your streets, homes, and families. The Lord's richest blessing of favor, joy, and revival rest upon you. You are protected, prospering, and purposed for good. Amen. Come on, say hallelujah. Give him a hand clap. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, well done, well done, well done. And now, sit down. How many felt some juice on that? How many felt some juice on that? Hallelujah. There's three parts to a prophetic encounter. First is the revelation. The second is the interpretation. The third is the application. Three parts. Are you ready? I'm going to give you two prophetic encounters in the book of Acts. First is in Acts 13. Now the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, and they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, how many know if you got some prophets in the room, if the Holy Spirit said something, it was probably through a prophet. The Holy Spirit said, now separate. Now, literally the language is, now take your hands off. Because Paul and Barnabas were significant leaders in the movement in Antioch. But God had a purpose for them. And literally the language is strong. Now take your hands off of Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to. Then, and separate them to the work that I have called them to. Then, say then. Then, having fasted and prayed. So what did they do? They heard the word. They let that word kind of rest. And they kind of sat and meditated on it. They spent some time. Because if you fasted, how many know that fasting means you got to miss a meal, not 10 minutes? So there was a bit going on there. So they sat on that word for a bit and they prayed about it and they sought the Lord. They took some time. The Holy Spirit spoke. The brother who spoke, he's a good brother, but let's get after it. Let's find the mind of God. Let's evaluate this. Amen. Because one or two will prophesy and the others will evaluate. You know what? The truth does not mind being examined. The truth does not mind being examined. When I have a prophetic person who comes and tells me something and I say, that's rubbish, and they get all offended and go away, I say, thank you, Jesus. Because if it's the truth, you don't have to defend it. And the truth does not mind being examined. And if you prophesy and you resist examination, you should be still and be quiet. You don't guard the word, you just bring it. Let the others, say others, others judge. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. That was one encounter where a word came and then it was interpreted, spent some time dealing with it, and then they applied the words. Amen. How many enjoying this so far? All right. You know, I got Patricia here. Patricia, just last Saturday, we had a service for Neville Jones. And her dear husband went to be with the Lord. And what a great name, though. I love that. I was thinking Neville Jones. I said, it sounds like the bass player for the Moody Blues. You know, but Patricia, bless you. Bless you. Bless your family. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the time we spent together with Neville and with you. And it's such a joy. Because Neville came and saw me 3 years ago, and he wanted to know, how do you know you get to heaven? And we spent some time together, and I was there when he was in palliative care in the last days of his life. And I said, Neville, how you doing? He says, I'm great. He said, I'm great. I said, what do you think about? He says, I'm thinking about being with Jesus. And you know, what transpired in 3 years was someone who had absolute assurance that I'm a child of God. Isn't that great? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a child of God. By his will, by his declaration, by his act, it's nothing I did deserve it, but I am a reckless embracer of the love of God. There was a certain prophet named Agabus, Acts 21, 10 to 14. There was a certain prophet named Agabus who came down from Judea, and he had come to us, and he took Paul's belt from around his waist, and he bound his hands with it, and he said to him, thus says the Holy Spirit. Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him over to the hands of the Gentiles. That was the prophetic word. Now everybody in the room went, oh my goodness, Saul or Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. You're going to get bound. They're going to put you in chains. You're going to be handed over to the Gentiles. And so they received a revelation and then they began to interpret it. And their interpretation was, I mean, they said they pleaded with him. It says, and he had to say, what do you mean with all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I mean, literally, they're weeping. Paul, don't go. Don't do it. Don't go to Jerusalem. And he's like, settle down. No, don't do it. And he says, you're breaking my heart. What are you doing? See, they interpreted that word as a warning. Don't go to Jerusalem. But that wasn't the application. That was the right word. But their interpretation was wrong. Sometimes you can have the right word and have the wrong interpretation. Remember when Moses got a revelation that my people should be free? And so he took a sword and started killing Egyptians. Right revelation, wrong timing, wrong activity. And there's a lot of that happens in the Bible. Sometimes you might have the right word, but it's the wrong time. And sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. When is this going to be applied? Has anybody got a word that is seeking fulfillment in your life? And you're just waiting on the timing of that. You're like, yes, Lord. Well, sometimes you got to do that. So he would not be persuaded. He would not, no matter how many people said, this is what that word means, Paul. This is what it means. You know what that word means? It means this. And he would not be persuaded. Why? Because the person who received the word already understood the word. He understood God's purpose for his life. And that word wasn't some new revelation. It was something that brought confirmation to what he knew God was already going to do in his life. This wasn't news. This wasn't a new flash. It was something that the Lord had said to him. But he says, you're going to go in chains. But those chains, through those chains, you'll get to your destination. Through chains, I will take you to Rome. Now, I had pleaded with God and said, how about a first-class seat on Air Canada? But it was chains, shipwrecks, nasty stuff, how God got him to his destiny. But they ceased what they said, and they surrendered, and they said, the will of the Lord be done. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not. What boggles my mind is that puny little old me can quench Almighty God. Almighty God could be resisted by this little puny meat sack right here. Blows my mind. But listen, you can, and don't do it. Don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Don't quench the spirit. Connected with, side by side, do not despise prophecy. Not prophecy, but prophecies. Prophecies. You know why? Because in their churches, there was a lot of prophecies. And you see, do not quench the spirit. Do not. And here's the explanation. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Don't do it. See, when I was in that meeting and I had sister and brother prophesying against each other, all manner of rubbish, I wasn't going to say, that's it, no more prophecy. I said, we want to have prophecy, but we're going to do it in a little different way. Okay? Because we want it, but we want it to be good. We don't want to have this circus happen again. We're going to honor the word of the Lord in this place for the next 10 days. Because the boss just said, I'm the boss, and I am now the boss. And the boss later said, thank you for being the boss. Are you the boss over me? Only if you want me to be. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, I don't have a clock up there, because that screen stopped working. So I have no idea what time it is. So you're just going to get it any which way. All right. Can you give me 15 minutes? Thank you. Who cannot give me 15 minutes? I'm clearly not the boss of you. All right. All right. 1 Thessalonians in the message paraphrase. It's a paraphrase by one guy. It's a paraphrase. Still enlightens us. We can still read it. Don't suppress the spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Say gullible. Check out everything and keep only what is good and throw anything tainted with evil out. Look at that, eh? We embrace the prophetic. I mean, embrace someone who's got a word from the master. But on the other hand, don't be gullible. Because not every word is from God. And we got to test everything. Amen. How many know there's lots of people who want to prophesy to you? There's lots of TV people on there. They want you to sign up, you know, subscribe to my thing and I'll prophesy over you every Tuesday. There's a lot of voices out there and there always will be. Even if you shut up false voices, other ones will rise up. But you know what? Let's not despise prophecy, because the God speaks through people like you and like me, and the word of the Lord comes through us, and we're not going to quench the spirit and we're not going to despise it. We're going to encourage it. There are whole denominations that have said prophecy is not for today. Why? Because it might get awkward. And rather than dealing with it and manifesting leadership, we would rather just say, let's not have that because it's weird. It's not weird, it's the powerful voice of God, and we're raising up a community that's going to transform the world. All right, but it's got to be judged. It's got to be judged. So don't be gullible. Check everything out. Keep what's good. Throw out anything that's evil. All right, don't be gullible. Real quick, this is me, okay? So don't get offended because I'm talking to me. This is me being gullible sometimes. This is why, you know, these people find rooms in my life, because I left them vacant. It's like you have a boat and you didn't tie it to the dock. It's going to drift away or somebody else is going to use it. So when you've got openings, people will fill them. And some people have openings on purpose. They don't know it, but there's other voices filling your life because you're not being responsible. It's being gullible. Keep smiling. Smile at your neighbor. Say, it's going to be okay. We get gullible because we have a discomfort with uncertainty. Discomfort with uncertainty. Boy, it took me a long time to put these together, so please enjoy them. There's things like, I want to know what's next. I literally told the Lord one time, show me more. Show me more about my destiny. Could you unpack this a little further? It's a bit rough living day by day. Could you show me like the next 5 years and give me assurance that it's going to be okay? I need more. Give me a better picture. Give me a sign. And you know what he said to me? He says, no. I said, why? He says, because you'd probably never talk to me again. I said, that's true. See, if I know the path, I don't need to talk to you. I got it. It's right there. But trusting him every day, walking through the uncertainty sometimes of life, living in that place of faith where you're calling the unseen into manifestation, there's discomfort. I don't know about you, but I get discomfort from uncertainty. And I start calling my friends, hey, if you got a word for me, I'm making a big decision. If you got a word for me. And you know what I love about my prophetic friends? If they don't, they don't. If they do, they do. But if you don't have a word, don't just throw one out for the sake of it. We don't need your mind. I only want the mind of God. But sometimes, a lot of people today with the last days, like, what's going on in the last days? Oh, my God. Don't you know what's going on? What's going on with Russia and China? Looks like things are aligning. Oh, my goodness. What's going to happen? Well, you know, what's going to happen in the next few years? Oh, my goodness. I better turn on the TV and watch the little man with the white hair. He'll tell me everything that's going to happen. And he'll make peace in my heart, and I won't be uncertain anymore. Most of it's rubbish. Live with the uncertainty. Trust God. Do you want to know what God is doing today? I will tell you right now. You know what God is doing right now in the earth? God is at work for good. And the Antichrist is rising in this nation right now, and he will come forth, and he will... Number two, resolve my pain right now. I have a hurt, I have a wound, I have something going on in my life, and I don't want to patiently process it. I need help with it right now. Tell me, give me a word, see me, hear me, put me on your radar, speak to me. And there's times I just needed something because I didn't like the pain of the moment. And sometimes because of that, we'll open our hearts unknowingly to somebody speak into my life. At that time of pain, sometimes you just need to be still and know that he is God. This is me. I'm talking to me. Don't get offended. I'm not talking to you. A company spirit, tribalism. We are the professional listeners. We get this tribalism, you know. Nobody hears God like we do. And we get into the prophetic and we fill ourselves with all kinds of sense because we have a company. We have a tribal spirit. Some people said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of so-and-so. And it said, no. Don't have a company spirit. A company spirit is actually evil. Tribalism is evil. And sometimes we get into that, and that can cause you to be gullible because you're kind of in your tribe. Outsourcing your convictions. I don't know what to believe. I'm looking for somebody else to be a professional here. Somebody tell me how to respond to this. Tell me how to respond to this. Tell me what to do right now. Tell me. And there's sometimes when you need to frame convictions, you're what's going to happen in 2026? I'm going to go to prophetic.com. What's going to happen in 2026? Can you hear God? Does God speak to you? Then stop it. Quit outsourcing your convictions. Whatever's going on with those people may have nothing to do with you. And you outsourcing your convictions, you may miss something God wants to do because you're letting somebody else do the heavy lifting on your behalf. An unsecured identity. As I said, you tie a boat. You don't tie a boat, it's going to be gone. And you know, if you don't have a security in your identity, you're going to have places in your life that are insecure. You're going to have unsecured aspects of your world where doors are not locked that should be locked, and people are going to come in and fill them. And you got to make sure. So discomfort with uncertainty, resolve my pain now. A company spirit. I am with a group of people. We hear the word of the Lord. God bless you. That's fabulous. So do a lot of other people. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I said that. All right. Outsourcing your convictions and unsecured identity. Say amen. Say amen. Was that good for anybody else besides me? Because it helped me a little bit, all right? Hebrews 6:12, we don't want you to become lazy, but we want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Sometimes you got to dig in, you got to press down, and you got to be patient in your moment. Quit looking for a quick fix and an easy escape. Don't be gullible. Trust the Lord and get down to this yourself. Prophecy is not something that is is a, something you add to your life so that you can hear from God. Prophecy gives you a singular passion to hear his voice for yourself. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, the antidote is not cynicism. It's genuine self-knowledge. You become less vulnerable when you do the hard work of being honest with yourself. We encourage formation, not fascination. I don't know about you, but this is really good right here. Thank you. And sadly, there's people making a living right now just calling stuff out. And millions of people are going to websites and subscribing to websites where people are calling out this person, calling out that person, calling out this ministry, calling out that ministry. I just want to know, whatever happened to love? Whatever happened to love? I don't know that there's a spiritual gift of calling out my brothers who I don't agree with. Do you think anybody's ever screwed up once or twice? Where's forgiveness? Where's the nature of the King? Where's the glory of God when we do that? And people run to it and go, yeah, I thought so. I knew that about them. Whoopie-doo. Let me follow you around for a couple days. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Sorry. Pardon me. I got a little. All right. This is deep. Now, you're going to be so grateful you came here just for this. All right? Hey, I spent a lot of time putting that together yesterday. I know you're wowed. I know you're like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. You probably haven't. Anyways, that's my scribbling right there. But this will help you. Tell your neighbor to pay attention. All right? So there's land, and you see the boat, and you see the squiggly line? That means the boat's out in the ocean. All right? How many are following me so far? How many of that explanation helped you? All right, so there it is. So there's the harbor. It's underlined with a little blue thing. So what we want to do is we want to get to the harbor. So what's going on here is, how many know that there's the will of God for your life? How many know God's got a claim on your life? He's got a purpose for you. How many sometimes go, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what God wants me to do. How many have ever been there? Well, I'm going to help you with this beautiful picture. Please stop taking pictures of it. It's copyright. All right. So there's you. You were in that ship right there, and you are going to go into the harbor. Now, this is true that when you want to line up the harbor so that you're coming in straight and you're not going to hit a rock or go astray, you take all of those lights and you line them up. And if those lights are lined up, if you can only see one, you see, there's five, but when the five become one, you know you're on the right path. And so there's times you got to make a decision in your life. So what do? I look at the Word of God. And if the Word of God doesn't answer, should I marry Susie? Then I go a little further and I say, Holy Spirit, help me. And I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for some understanding. Holy Spirit, speak to me. You're looking for the voice of God. Now then you think about circumstances. Well, I had a lady who came to me when I was first year here, pastoring the church 36 years ago. She said, have you done a wedding yet? I said, no, you're going to do one this year, this summer. I said, I am, really. I didn't know that. Who am I marrying? I'm getting married. And I said, wow, who are you getting married to? She said, that guy over there. I went, oh, wow. Problem there is, I think he's married to her. I know, but she's going to leave him. The Lord said, he's mine. And I went, well, I got all kinds of problems with that. And another lady called me once. And sorry, it's not about ladies. I've had a lot of guys do some creepy stuff, but it just happened to be. Asked us to come to the church and meet with her, Cheryl and I. And we sat down and she said, look, you need to hear this. You need to understand there's a problem between the Father and the Son. And the Son is out. He's out. Jesus is out. It's the Father and the Holy Spirit now. Jesus is out. No kidding. Cheryl will testify. It really happened. And I went, well, first of all, if I look at the scripture says he is one God, which means God Elohim is one God. There is co-union, co-essential. I mean, there's no division in the Godhead. The Trinity is three in one, and it's a community that's completely honoring of one another. So they didn't have an argument yesterday, and they're mad at each other, and he didn't kick Jesus out of the Trinity. And she said, Holy Spirit told me you would say that. You know what? Sometimes when people come up to you and they say, God told me, that's right where I brace myself and go, I just want to hit you right now. And Cheryl grabs my arm. I don't mind when people come and say, you know, I've been seeking the Lord on an issue and here's what I'm thinking. Can you help me? No problem. It's hard to argue with God told me. Yeah, well, God told me. Oh, yeah? Okay, so settle down. Back to the picture. Beautiful. Then you got wise counsel. Say wise counsel. How many of you have a pastor? A lot of you don't have a pastor. That's awesome. Did you know that a pastor is somebody who embodies a gift of the headship of Christ and is given to you as a gift to help you, to shepherd you, to minister with you, to share things with and seek the Lord on issues? I got some people in here that I think are better Christians than I am. I honestly want to be them when I grow up. And there's times they call me and say, Pastor, we're seeking the Lord about an issue. Here it is. And we'd like your input as our pastor. And I'm humbled by that because I went, oh my God, I got to put on my pastor hat now and I better hear from him. But I carry an anointing from the headship of Christ to pastor. It's not something that comes and goes. It's who I am. And I embody wisdom and revelation and counsel. And I've been specially put in your life to help you in difficult times. Please don't call me all at once. That's why Cheryl's a pastor too, and so is Kelly. Call Kelly, please. But you know, there's times you need wise counsel. There are elders here. They are shepherds. They're people who care for your soul. There's other people, good friends that you have. You know, don't go off on some crazy journey if 10 people in your world say, I don't think that's wise. Hello? All right, and then you got prophecy. Prophecy could be one of those things. Like Paul had a prophecy. He got all bound up and said, you're going to be in chains. And that prophecy was a confirmation, but it didn't tell him not to do it. And you need to properly understand these things. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to go really fast now. Say really fast. All right, check everything out. Don't be gullible, number one, and check everything out. Check everything out goes like this. Test the spirit. Where is it from? Test the spirit. Where is it from? Where is it from? What's manifesting here? What's going on? Number two, test the content. Is it biblical? Is it biblical? There's some things you will not find in the Bible, so that's hard. But you can find principles. I can find that if you want to marry that woman's husband, in the Bible that says no. So that's pretty easy. So is it biblical? What's the content? What's the purpose? Does it glorify God? Yea, the Lord would say, go rob the shopper store because you need some money, and yay, that's okay. Does it glorify God? Test the vehicle. Is there fruit? Like, and you know, I say this on purpose because some people are more than willing to prophesy, but their lives are a total mess. And you kind of go like, man, it ain't working for you. But we're not judging the person because you know what? Anybody can prophesy. And some of the most significant words I've had are from people who I wouldn't necessarily want to receive from. But when they came, I was, wow, that was the voice of God to me from a place that I wouldn't have expected. But it's not God's usual way. Sometimes he's used a donkey and sometimes he's used a rooster, but it's not his preferred method. And so you do need to see, is there fruit? This person who's giving you direction, what's happening there? Test the atmosphere. Does it produce freedom? Does it produce peace? Does it produce liberty? What's going on with the whole thing? Test the direction. Where is it leading me? Yea, the Lord says you should leave this church right now. Run, flee, get out of here. Let me discern that one for you. That's rubbish. That's not from God. You're in the best place in town. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. But sometimes you get stuff that's a weird direction. I mean, think about it. Well, that's really weird, but they said, thus saith the Lord, so oh well, yeah. Where does it lead? And then does it happen? Does it happen? Test the accuracy. Now, I've often gone to places, and when I've prophesied, sometimes some very, very heady things, spoke some things into regions, amazing shifts. And then I've heard myself saying, and let this be a sign to you. And then I've gone, oh my God. Let this be a sign to you. And right there, I literally, God have mercy. Because there's one. Is it accurate? Is it accurate? If you got somebody who's been prophesying over you for years and it's always rubbish, you got to tell them, you need to just be still and meditate on things for a little bit. Okay. But I was in India, and as I was preaching, I turned to the pastor and said, what would be a sign? What would be something that could happen right now? Something impossible that would just blow everybody's minds. He says, we're in a drought. We haven't had rain for months. And this is not the rainy season. This is the dry season. It can't rain. It can't rain. I began to sing, "Let it rain, let it rain, open the windows of heaven." I said, "I'm speaking something to you right now, and there's going to be a sign to you. The heavens are going to open up and rains are going to pour on you. There are supernatural rains that are coming upon you. There's breakthrough coming upon you. Thousands are coming. You need to prepare right now. You need to release ministry. You need to do things. You need to start planting churches like crazy because a rain is coming upon you. And let this be a sign to you. It's going to rain. I'm telling you, it's going to rain in the next week. The rains are going to come. Physical rains are going to pour upon this area. And it's a sign that God is going to honor this word." Then I went, "Oh, crap." Then I got on a train that night, did an overnight train to a whole other region to go prophesy somewhere else. Get out of town. In the middle of the night, it's a sleeper car with about six cots in it, and the pastor's phone went off. And I'm like, "Oh, God." And then I'll say, "Dory? Yes, Dory? What's going on, Dory? What is going on?" I'm like, "Jacob, what's going on? Is everything okay?" He said, "Dory wants me to fix the..." I'm not being a racist. I'm sorry. He's using an Indian voice. He's a racist. I'll use my own voice. He said, "Dory, what's going on?" "It's very hard. It's very hard." He said, "Dory, what's going on?" He says, you know the gutters that come down the side of the house right beside our window of our bedroom? You know how when it rains, they rattle like crazy? Well, I'm trying to sleep, and I'm all saying, when is he going to fix that? I've told him that it's so annoying when those gutters just rattle like that. But the ratters were guttling, and I'm going, "Oh, so annoying." Then all of a sudden, I went, "Oh, my God. It's raining. So I called you because it's raining, and it's not a little bit. It's a torrential downpour." And it came out of nowhere. We got back to that area 5 days later, and there were still pools of water in different places because the waters came. And I'll tell you, that church has gone to over 10,000 people and planted about 25 churches since then. And it's been an incredible breakthrough. At another church in Nova Scotia, I said, "Something is shifting in the region right here." And I said, "I'm dealing with something right now." I said, "You can stay, you can go, I don't care. I'm speaking to a principality in this region right now." And I spoke and I prophesied some things in the region. And I said, "Let this be a sign to you that you're going to see on the front page of your newspaper, there's going to be a significant natural find. There's going to be a natural resource that was unknown in this region that is going to come forth. And it's a sign to you that this is shifted and something is going to change in what's happening in this region." And I went, "Oh God, get on the train, get on the plane, and get out of town." But sure enough, he sent me a copy of the paper, and it says, "Uranium has been found in this area, and we never even knew it was here. But there's a big find of significant uranium." And he sent me the thing. So, you know, if you're going to be a signs and wonders prophet, you better be accurate. Because it gets a little crazy when you say, "Thus saith the Lord." All right, I'm almost done. You ready? So listen, Paul doesn't leave us with a spirit of suspicion. He leaves us with a picture of maturity. He doesn't say, "Shut it all down." He says, "Don't suppress the spirit, but don't be gullible. Keep the fire, but keep the filter. Keep the fire, keep the filter. Keep the fire, keep the filter." Chris Willotten, he's getting attacked and beaten up these days. Poor Bethel, they're going through it. But practicing the gift should take place in an atmosphere of love and a culture of spiritual authority. Without being in submission to true spiritual authority, we are like contractors who build skyscrapers without a foundation. The first time the wind blows, it will fall to the ground. Last slide. You ready? Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Listen, listen, listen. Impact Church is a community where the genuine voice of God is welcomed, weighed with wisdom, and honored with faith. Let me say it again because you were stretching. Impact Church is a community where the genuine voice of God is welcomed, weighed with wisdom, and honored with faith. Spiritual discernment is love with its eyes wide open. Amen. That was a whole long time in Thus Saith the Lord to get to this significant application. But we honor the word of God. We honor the voice of God. We honor prophecy. I pulled out all kinds of books today. I was going to bring some with me because we come from a movement that started in the Welsh Revival back in 1904. And I have bound, the conventions were put in print. And I have all of the conventions there. And people would prophesy in Welsh. And the Welsh would be 10 pages of Welsh prophecy. And then an apostle would stand up and give 10 pages of an application and an explanation. And these sometimes were illiterate coal miners who would prophesy the whole third chapter of Ephesians, and they'd never read it. We were doing prophecy before people even knew what was going on. We've got books about prophecy written back in the 40s and 50s that are better than the ones written today. People are drinking from my well. And that's okay. That's okay. It used to bother me because they were no good at it. But it's okay. I grew up on it. I got generations of it. I cut my teeth on it. But people need prophecy. God wishes all his people to be prophets. And so, but we want to honor prophecy and we want to do it well because the truth does not mind examination. Amen. Amen. Read this verse one more time. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil.